You are tuned to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 83, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin, and sometimes other people. This is Tom Harris in Chicago. Welcome to the show. And this week I have with me on the show a marvelous member of our Radio Free Asgard community. And let me tell you, this guy gets around. Not only does he have a successful pediatrics career in Houston, Texas, but he is playing minor league baseball for the Lake County Captains. Welcome to the show, Manuel Carmona.
Hi.
So how are you, sir?
I'm good. I didn't know I was doing all that.
I know. So how did you get into baseball and comics? It seems like, you know, that would take a lot of time to do.
Yeah, I get around.
Yeah, I mean, and you've done really well. I mean, you know, 2 years ago in the Dominican Summer League, and then already you're playing minor league for the Cleveland Indians. I mean, that's awesome.
No, that's not me.
But seriously, folks. So Manuel is the author of the Truthful Comics blog, and we've talked about him on the show before, and Manuel does comics. So how'd you get started in that?
Well, I got started back in Puerto Rico. I live all my life in Puerto Rico. I just moved to Virginia 5 years ago. I always loved comic books, always loved superheroes and movies and stuff like that. So I got an incline, that I had some kind of talent. And as soon as I got out of high school, I actually got approved to go to the Joe Kubert School in New Jersey. So I went there for a brief period of time, ran into some problems, and came back to Puerto Rico and decided to actually go for it and come to Virginia and started my own company.
Fantastic. So what kind of stuff does your company do?
Well, we do a few things. We actually have a few web comics, me and a group of my buddies and a few other people that I've gotten to know through Facebook and social media. And me and my wife actually started a nonprofit organization called Comics for Christmas, through which we give out comics to kids in hospitals, orphanages, and stuff like that. Pretty much all the comics that we give away, I buy with my wife.
Wow. So how would somebody, if they were wanting to contribute to your charity, how would they go about doing that? Would they like send you comics or?
Yeah, I mean, if anybody wants to help us out, I really don't like to ask for money. What they can do, anybody that wants to help out, is they can send some comics. They can go to our website and look for our address and send whatever comics they think they want to give away. But they, I mean, as long as they're all ages books, we'll just pass them over.
So what happens if somebody like gives you adult comics? Do they go somewhere else or?
That happens a lot, and they send a lot of adult comics. And for a while, we didn't know what to do with them because obviously I can't give them to kids. So
well, you could.
So I ended up collecting like two huge boxes. So I was looking on the internet trying to find out how I could get rid of them, and I just found out that there's a organization called Operation Comics Relief, and what they do is they send comics to Afghanistan, and they give those comics to the soldiers because they really don't have any kind of entertainment over there. So they spread them out through the different bases that they have over there. And yeah, man, that's awesome. And I said, you know what? I have my own thing, but I'm not using this comic, so I might as well just help them out too.
So are you working in partnership with them, with like sending your adult comics to them?
I am, but not really. Just send them as myself. I'm not asking to join, in a partnership with them. I just want to do my part, and help them out. Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine what it must be like to try to keep something in mint condition in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, no, there's no real way for them to do that. It's just mostly for entertainment, I guess.
Well, of course, yeah. Maybe spread the word of comics to the Afghani people. Who knows,
Yeah.
So you're saying, so you're actually a comic artist. What exactly are you working on right now?
Well, I just finished a Captain Action one-shot that they're going to put out, I think, probably 1 or 2 months from now. And it's an anniversary of the first Captain Action comic published back in 60s, I guess it was.
Who's publishing it?
That comic's going to be published through RZG Comics. They're from New Jersey, and they got like a license to do that comic with the Action Comics people. And they hired me to do the book to draw it. I finished it like 2 months ago, and I guess they're in post production right now. They're doing the painting and whatever. And I just got that done, and right now I'm working on my own titles, which is Project New Wave. It's my own book, and that's gonna come out through Truthful Comics.
Okay, so what's that about?
It's about this group of 5 kids, and they're kind of adopted, if you can say that, by the military. And their families got killed in suspicious ways. Nobody really knows. They got like freak accidents and stuff. And little by little, they start figuring out that their commander, who's in charge of them, who's like their surrogate father, ordered their parents to be killed and their families to be killed so they couldn't have any opposition when they decided to take those kids.
So it's a comedy.
Oh no! It's a drama. It's action.
That yeah, sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty violent, and you know, we have a few stories. That's my baby right there. But we have a few stories, and I'll let you know a little later on about what we're going to do. But we have in Truthful Comics, what we want to do is we want to put out books for all kinds of people. Like, we want to put out kids comics, we want to put out adult themed comics, so it's like a haven for different artists that don't have a real avenue to put out comics, and I'm trying to help them out, I guess.
So how are you guys distributing yourselves? Are you just selling at conventions, that sort of thing?
Well, that's the plan. Yeah, we're, right now we're just getting off the ground, and we're starting to put web comics. The comic convention scene right now is just ended. And when it starts rolling back in around September, October, that's when we're going to start hitting conventions real hard.
Mm-hmm. And we have C2E2 here is actually in March, and that's the beginning of our comic season here in Chicago.
Yeah, that's really big, right?
Yeah, that's one of the bigger. The two big ones here are C2E2 in March, and then they have what used to be Wizard World before.
Wizard World, yeah.
It's like the Chicago Comic Con now in August.
So ours
is more during the summer and that. But we're not talking about me. So why Thor? What about
Thor?
Oh,
man, Thor. Thor is, oh, my God. I've liked Thor. I started to find out about Thor with the 1966 cartoon. And let me get this straight. I wasn't even born in 1966. I was born in 1979. But in Puerto Rico, when I was growing up, around 5 or 6 years old, they used to put reruns of those cartoons. And if you look at them right now, they're kind of horrible. But to me, oh my God, I used to love those. And I started searching and looking for more information about Thor and just the mythology of him. Mm-hmm. He's a badass, man.
Oh, yeah.
I fell in love with that character.
When did you actually start reading the Thor comics?
Well, I used to read them because in Puerto Rico, we only had like one comic book store. And I think I had a few of them here and there, nothing really serious. Until I got, I think, probably high school. Mm-hmm. That's where there was like a hobby shop in my hometown. And one day I was walking by and I saw comic books. And I was like, oh, wow, there are comic books in here. And that's where I started picking them up. Not even monthly, I just pick them up randomly.
So what era were they? Were they reprints of old stuff or were they the original series?
They were probably the original series. Mm-hmm. That was probably, what, 1992, I would think. So they were probably the original series, but up in, I guess, 300s, maybe, I don't know, something like that.
So after the Simonson run in the extreme 90s.
Yeah. That was probably that era, 1990s. Mm. One day I was reading a Wizard magazine, and I saw a Simonson Thor drawing. And it was Thor versus Beta Ray Bill. And that image, oh my God, that image got burned on my brain. And I said, I need to find this stuff. And it was, and I had them. I lost most of my collection back in Puerto Rico. There was a flood.
Oh.
And I lost all my collection, but.
Oh, the humanity.
Oh, my God, man. I lost everything. But, yeah, that's a whole other topic.
Right.
But, yeah, I started looking for those, and oh, my God, that Simonson run was amazing.
They are, and that's really one of my favorite Thor runs of all time. Of course, I'm going to be going back to covering all of that stuff as we go, and I've been reading Thor since 1975 or thereabout, and it's, wow, to me, that is probably the highlight of the run. That's where everything really came together. And there was good stuff all along, but there was also a lot of bad stuff too.
Stanley used to write Thor to, like you say, how do you say that?
He whines. Whiny. He's a drama queen.
Oh man! But Jack Kirby was something else. But yeah, Stanley, the way he wrote it, I was like, oh man, this guy's he's killing me.
So what's your favorite era of Thor?
Well, I would think it's of course the Kirby, because just I'm an artist, so I follow artists really. I don't really follow writers that much. So I would think the Kirby era is something that I hold very high, and the Simonson. Mm-hmm. And actually, this past run before the one that we're going to review tonight, the Matt Fraction and Oliver Coypel run, oh man.
I know we were talking about this on Facebook the other day, and I don't know if everybody saw that, but I've been a fan of Oliver Coypel since he was drawing the Legion of Superheroes, and that was quite a while ago now, and he just gets better and better.
Man, his artwork just... I look at his artwork and it makes me like hit the drawing table, and I mean, man, he's awesome. He's well, awesome. And the way he draws Thor, that's the way that I always kind of envision him, because Thor is a Viking, so his features aren't like a pretty boy. His features has to be, I would imagine, they have to be rough. You know, his nose has to be more squared, and the way Oliver Coypel draws him, whew, man, it's just beautiful. His artwork is beautiful.
I agree, and it's kind of like how I was talking about in the last few episodes about Johnny Romita Jr. You know, he has a real knack for layout and making this illusion of movement and this great cinematographic sense.
Yes, cinematography.
like you're filming a movie.
Yes.
And I see that in Coypel's work as well. I really think he's got a knack for layout and making, you know, really dynamic scene, and I'm really looking forward to covering that stuff.
Yeah, you should, man. That run, oh man, I love that run. The whole Fear Itself, I think if you get a chance, you can check that out. Fear Itself, I think it could have been such an awesome event for Thor fans and for the whole Marvel universe, and Marvel, I think they misused that event. Mm-hmm. They tried to push so many books out that they didn't focus on what they needed to focus. But in that series, in that event, Thor became more powerful than Odin. Mm-hmm. Odin himself was hiding from this guy called the Serpent, who ended up being the true All-Father. So Odin was scared of him. They didn't even want to deal with him.
I say thee nay.
Yeah, and Odin decided to... It was better to destroy Earth, the whole planet, with him in it than rather than face him. Hmm. So Thor said, "Nah, I ain't having that." Mm-hmm. Thor actually sacrificed himself and killed this guy. So he basically showed Odin that I can beat him. So if I wanted to, I could beat you too. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I've always said. Like, Thor is pretty much the most powerful character in any universe. Even Superman. I don't think Superman can even get close to him.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Superman, he's one of his major weaknesses is magic, and Thor is basically made out of magic.
You got a point. That's a great point.
Yeah, I mean,
and if he rubs the head of his hammer, kryptonite comes out.
Yeah. Even without the magic thing, Thor is pretty much the same power level as Superman. They're just as fast, just as powerful, and even if they say Superman may be faster, Thor can teletransport.
Yeah.
So. You try to hit him once. The thing is, Thor is so noble that he wouldn't even try to do that.
Right.
And that's why Odin kind of pushes him around. It's like you having your father and your father trying to push you around. You know you can probably kick his butt, but you just don't want to go there. Mm-hmm. You know, because you're like, he's still my dad. I just, you know, I'll stake it.
Well, he is the All-Father after
all. Exactly. Exactly, you know.
All right, so that, let's come to the newest Thor series. Now, we talked a little bit about this, too. Now, for those of you who aren't aware, Marvel has done kind of a ripoff of the New 52 over at DC and has started to reboot a lot of their titles. And of course, one of those titles is a book called Thor, the God of Thunder. And we're going to be reviewing the first issue of that this time, as promised. And one of the things about this that makes it different from other comics is this whole, I don't know what they call it, the AR thing.
Oh yeah.
And they have a like a little AR logo that appears throughout the book, and what you're supposed to do is get your smartphone or whatever and scan this, and you get a little bit of bonus content for that.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about stuff like that?
I love that. Mm-hmm. To tell you the truth, at first I was like, whatever, this is just a ploy to get more money. But I actually bought the comic and I did that with my iPhone. Oh man, that adds a whole nother level to the comic. It makes it more, you know, if you're paying $3.99 for a comic, you might as well get as much as you can out of it.
Right. I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
On one hand, and I kind of agree with you. On one hand, I think that it's a way to get people more involved in the book. It's not as much of a passive experience. Mm-hmm. And you have a little bit of bonus content to go along with that. Now, at the same time, and I know I've talked about this on the show before, I really hate gimmicks.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a gimmick, but at the same time, you know, I did, because I don't have a smartphone, so my boyfriend, he has a smartphone, and we looked at a couple of the things involved, you know, with this issue. Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, since we're talking about this book, let's just go ahead and do our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
Indeed. So this week we're going to be covering Thor, God of Thunder, number one. Cover date is January of 2013. Retail price is $3.99. And we have a beautiful cover here by Isad Rebic. I don't know how to pronounce that. Do you know how to pronounce that?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it is. Isad Rebic.
Okay. And a gorgeous cover here of Thor standing on the cover, and he's holding his hammer kind of close to his belt. And it looks like he's pulling out his hammer to bash somebody with it. And we have in the background a sort of ghostly image of, well, we'll find out what that's of as we go through the issue. Now, of course, we have the Marvel Now logo and join the revolution. Purchase includes the free digital copy. So you buy the comic and you can look at it free online. All right, so opening to the front page here, we start out in 893 AD on Earth, the western coast of Iceland. And we have a little bit of backstory here. The frost giant had terrorized these people for weeks and had eaten 3 goats, 4 dogs, and 2 children all at once.
Yikes.
It's a feast. The mothers in the village prayed for help from the gods, and help they did receive. I led a group of 20 men tracking the giant to its den in the highlands. It battled us for hours, swinging trees and hurling boulders. Many Vikings found their way to Valhalla until my axe hacked its guts to bloody slush and lopped off its head. That was 4 days ago. Since then, I have eaten more goats than the frost giant, drank enough mead to drown a dozen sailors, and made love to half the women in the village. I am Thor, Odin's son, God of Thunder, Prince of Asgard, heir to the throne of the realm eternal. I love my life. And so this is a really interesting storytelling technique. I'm just going to talk about it up front, where what the writer has done, and the writer here is Jason Aaron, we'll talk about him next episode probably, who, and what he's done is he's split this up into 3. So you have the sort of young Thor back in the 9th century. You've got present day Thor, who I'm going to call the mature Thor. And then you've got the future Thor, which is the ancient Thor. Yeah, the old Thor. It looks like Odin. So we're seeing this sort of, they're not the same events, but they're related events. And I kind of hope that the whole series isn't like that. But for one story arc, I think it'll work quite nicely, actually, because I'm enjoying it. I do have to say that this artwork here is beautiful stuff.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to go, let's just go ahead and do the credits here, because they put the credits at the back of the issue. I hate it when they do that. But we have Jason Aaron as the writer, Isad Rebic as the artist, Dean White was the cover or the color artist. This is like a list. It's like a phone book, because back in the old days, you just have by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. And here we have like the half of Marvel listed. VC's Joe Sabino was the letterer. Let's see. Oh, this variant covers. They give the artists for the variant covers. We don't care about that. Jake Thomas was the assistant editor. Lauren Sankovic was the editor. Axel Alonso was the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada was the chief creative officer. Whatever the hell is that? Dan Buckley was the publisher, and Alan Fine is the executive producer. Like, this is some kind of a movie or something. So anyway, so Thor is, he's in this Viking village, and they're carousing, and they've killed this frost giant that was terrorizing everybody, and is having a good old time partying, when all of a sudden they hear a scream. Aig! It says in the narration, "Cry in the night. Please let it be another giant, because this Thor is bloodthirsty." And a little kid comes running in. "There's someone in the water! A devil man! I saw his face!" And this old guy's like, "The girl speaks the truth. There's someone there, all right. At least what's left of them. Red chunks have been washing up for hours all along the shore." And they go and they pull this this body out of the water. And the only thing they can really determine is that he's not from their village. He's not a Viking. And one of the Vikings is, "I've heard tell of feathered men such as this." So this is like a Native American. Actually, you know what he looks like? He looks like Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper, you're right. He does look like him.
So Alice Cooper has been chopped up and he's washing up on the shore. Well, that's probably the best that he can do nowadays. "School's out forever." All right. "I've heard tell of feathered men such as this, from Norsemen who claim to have sailed on across the sea towards the edge of the world."
"You're half right, Ulfar, son of Orm. Our visitor is indeed from across the water, but I don't believe he's a man at all. Lord Thor, pray tell, what do you see when you look into those eyes?"
And Thor looks and he says, "He was a god." Dun, dun, dun. And all the villagers are real upset by this. It's a god, you know, what could have done this to a god? And it's like, must have been a sea serpent. Only thing it could have been. And somebody else notices that, you know, that he doesn't seem to have been eaten like a monster would have done, but he was butchered. But what on earth could butcher a god? And Thor is all bold and it's all proud of himself. You know, he says, "Whatever it was, I guarantee you its skull is no match for Asgardian steel. Come now, Norsemen. Why stand we here with the dead when you've a longhouse filled with cold mead and warm women?" How do they keep the mead cold?
They're in Iceland.
They have. That's true, but wouldn't it be room temperature? Anyway,
yeah.
They have a refrigerator there in the longhouse. "Come now, Norsemen. Why stand here with the dead when you've got a longhouse filled with cold mead and warm women? Thor, for one, has yet to drink his fill of either. Boy, fetch some wood, enough to build a funeral pyre." And the people go wandering off, except for the old guy, and he's there with Thor, and they're looking at Alice Cooper here washing up on the beach, and he's like,
"A butchered god? Tell me, my lord, have you ever seen anything such as this?"
"I've seen war in the heavens. I've seen gods suffer and bleed. I've seen immortal fathers subject their own sons to torments you could never imagine. I've seen hell itself, and I've stood in the middle of the street. But no, I've never seen anything like the horror in this god's eyes." And this old woman kneels down, and she's praying, and she's like, "To what gods do you pray, old woman?" And she's like,
"All of them."
And we have a little somber moment there. And then we shift scenes to a Red Baron pizza ad. "You don't have time to be hungry. 5 minutes to full." And you can get super sliced, thick pan style, or original crust. Anyway, we shift scenes to the present day and the planet Indigar, which is somewhere out there somewhere. And we have a beautiful, this I have to say, the art in all of this is just beautiful. And we have this sort of desert scene here and with strangely phallic looking rocks. We have a narrator who doesn't seem to be Thor saying, "I've never prayed before. I'm not exactly sure how to do this, but here it goes. Dear Thor, my people need your help. It hasn't rained on my planet for many years. Everything here has died. Soon we will die too. Everyone throughout the spaceways says that you're the greatest god who's ever lived, and you can do anything. Please, Thor, save us." And there's a rumbling noise, and who should arrive but Thor? And it's raining, and you got lightning, it's going krakoom, and rain is falling on the planet. And this alien person, you can't really tell if it's a male or female,
But anyway, it's an alien person. He's all happy, and he sees Thor coming down, and Thor's like, yes, I'm here. I am Thor, warrior of Asgard, avenger of Earth, and I swear by all that is holy, no one will die here today. And the alien guy's really happy. He's like, you came. I never dreamed you actually would. I heard your prayer, little one. And what kind of god would I be if I did not answer prayers? And I like the outfit that he's got Thor in this. What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's different.
It's definitely not your Stan and Jack influence thing. And that's kind of cool for a change.
Yeah.
It doesn't have like the discs on the front, and he's got the helmet. The helmet's reminiscent of what he had before, but it's not the same. And
it almost looked like a gladiator, like a Roman gladiator outfit, like his chest plate and stuff.
Uh-huh. You like movies about gladiators?
Yeah, it does. It does kind of have that look to it. I like it. And he's got, of course, the red cape. You got to keep the red cape anyway.
Yeah.
So Thor is there, and he's making it rain. Then decides that he's going to take his leave, and he says, "Now, if you'll excuse me, there is always someone somewhere in need of smiting with a very large hammer." And Thor is always happy to oblige. This Marvel reality, Thor is just all about bashing heads. But you know, that's consistent with mythology.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Thor is all about.
And so that makes perfect sense. So good on him. And the aliens are like, please stay. We haven't much, but what we have is yours. Our cooks do wondrous things with rockworm and scab bark. That sounds so good. And we brew the finest cave slime ale in all the system. He's like, I'm sorry, but I simply must... Wait, did you say ale? Even cave slime ale, Thor cannot resist. We cut to a little bit later, and Thor is sitting there in their cave, and he's drinking their cave slime ale, and he's telling stories about killing storm giants and crossing the Rainbow Bridge into Asgard, and he's telling stories about Asgard to all the alien children who are gathered around, and they're all raptured and paying attention to what he's saying. And then eventually it's like, it's time to go to sleep. And all the little kids are falling asleep. And one of the elders is kind of comes up to him and says,
we owe you our lives, Lord Thor.
You owe the girl. It was her prayer that brought me here. But tell me, elder, why did she not pray to her own gods?
Her own gods? I don't understand. Here on Indigar, we have no gods.
No gods? In all my travels, I have never known a world without gods.
When I was a child, my mother told me stories of gods from long ago, who lived in a jeweled city high above the clouds. But those were just stories for children, like the ones you told about your dragons and magic rainbows.
There was a time I might have killed you for an insult such as that, old man. I save your world, and you dare doubt me? I like his Judge Dredd expression here.
I meant no offense, my lord. I just thought, do you mean to tell me there really are rainbow bridges and flying goats, and your father really does sit on the throne of heaven?
He's looking at him like, duh. Let us speak no longer of my father. Ooh, something's happened there. Now, that'll be a future revelation, I'm sure. Tell the girl when Thor finds her wayward gods, he will see they come home. So Thor is flying around above the clouds, and he's looking for this jeweled city that the old man talked about that his mother used to tell him stories about. And eventually he finds it, but it looks like it's all ruined and wrecked. But Thor, being Thor, decides to go investigate. Let's solve the mystery. And he goes in, and it's all creepy and dark and green, and Thor is pushing through these giant doors, and so obviously these gods are a lot bigger than he is. He apparently knows these gods' names, because somebody on another page that I missed told him about. Ho, Sky Lords of Indigar! A fellow immortal comes in peace! Show yourselves! And nothing happens, and I haven't seen him do this before, but his hammer is glowing like a torch.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's done that at some point in the past. I guess you could say he's just like shooting just a little bit of lightning. And he is looking around, and he finds a treasure room. It's full of treasure, but nobody's been there for a long time. And an arsenal that's still stocked with all kinds of weapons, but it doesn't look like anybody's touched them for eons. And a library with lots of scrolls, but nobody, again, has been there for a long time. And he doesn't have any idea what's happened. He's like, oh, I wonder where everybody is. And then he notices chains, and they're kind of chains across this giant set of doors in this floating castle. And he decides he's going to smash his way into this door, and he takes... The chains look just like Earth chains, which is... Do you think they'd have some kind of alien chains?
Yeah, with a floating castle, right?
Seriously, they look just like chains like you'd tow a car with or something. Anyway, so Thor uses Mjolnir with a giant krang, smashes the chains, and he opens up the door, and the smell hits him. Ooh, something bad is in there. And he sees that the gods, the sky gods of Indigar, are there, and they're hanging by chains and hooks from the wall. And one of them's got his willy hanging out. it is. I'm sorry. He's got his dick is hanging out. How did they get away with that in a comic? Anyway, I don't think it's supposed to be, but anyway, well, maybe it is. Some sort of weird alien peen. Anyway, so these gods are hanging from the ceiling, and they're real big. They're these huge guys. And Thor is dwarfed by them. And we cut to the next page, and it looks like he has discovered more of them. Well, you know, some of them are laying on the floor. They're not all just hanging up. And he's going through the list of all the gods. Is Hogscar the Harsh, Kroskin the Cruel, Lady Vile, the Goddess of Atrocities. Those sound like Jack Kirby names. Lord All Blood, the Inexorable, and his 13 sons by 13 brides. I recognize them all from the stories in the scrolls. These are the missing gods of Indigar. There's one mystery solved, as another is born. An entire pantheon of fearsome immortals. Every man, woman, and child all butchered like animals in their own fortress without any signs of invasion or warfare. Without a sign of combat of any kind. No, to even call this butchery is an insult to honest butchers. This was something else entirely. And he's wandering around and just finding all these dead gods lying everywhere. Godflesh rots slowly. By my guess, they've been here for a few hundred years, undisturbed until now. No army did this. No giants either. No stench of sorcery in the air. And this was no ritual. No one-time explosion of madness. Flesh wasn't eaten, so neither was it a mindless beast. There's nothing mindless about this. Their deaths were skillfully prolonged. Their suffering relished. This was the work of one hand. One that was steady and accomplished. And extremely well-versed in its art. There's a variety to the wounds, the work of many different weapons, but no sign of a single one, meaning the killer carries them with him, like a carpenter with his toolbox. Well, that would make sense. I think butchers, don't they carry their tools around with them?
I don't know.
Ask a butcher. Anyway, this was far from the first time he'd killed, and unless he stopped, it's far from the last. The face of a god, frozen forever in agony and terror. I haven't seen anything like this since. Oh, hell, he says, and he's remembering Alice Cooper. And all of a sudden, there's a shing, and this looks like some kind of a weapon or something goes whirring past him. It looks like it hits the wall behind him, and all of a sudden, he's being attacked by this giant, black, sort of alien-looking dude. I don't know, how would you describe him? It's kind of gargoyle-y.
Yeah, it looks like a gargoyle, actually.
He's got his big old blade in his hand, like a sword, and he's moving real fast, and he's coming up on Thor and striking at him. He looks a little bit, reminds me a little bit of the alien from Alien.
Yeah, you're right.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say they copied that, but anyway, he kind of has that same look. Thor manages to parry his blow with Mjolnir, and there's lightning shooting out. He's observing here, it attacks like an animal. No skill, only fury. This is not my killer. This is the guard dog. Oh, okay. I guess the gods had a guard dog. A very strong guard dog. And it pushes Thor through the wall with a giant boom. And everything goes flying. All the rocks falling around. I remember a millennia ago, a dead god floating in the sea. And later, a winged horse drenched in blood. A cave of horrors. I know who did this. And he's fighting up against this gargoyle thing and smacks him with a boof. Gore the god butcher yet lives. It can only mean one thing. More gods are sure to die. Dun, dun, dun. And we now shift scenes again to many millennia from now in the Great Hall of Asgard. So now we've seen young Thor hanging out with the Vikings on the coast of Iceland. And we've seen mature Thor, who is the, you know, member of the Avengers, and he lives on Earth, and I don't know if he's still shtupping Jane Foster or not, but anyway. And now he is old Thor, ancient Thor, sitting on the throne of Asgard, and he's got white hair and a big bushy beard, and he wears an eye patch like his father did. He's all alone, and he's sitting around there, and the braziers are just kind of barely smoking around him, and he's saying, "The quiet. That's what I hate the most. The wretched, unnerving quiet of this place. This hall used to be filled with the noise of battle or feasting. Now there's just the shuffle of those things out there, mocking me with their blackened silence, and the soft, labored breathing of a tired old god. Damn this quiet. If I'm to die, it will be with a weapon in my hand and a roar in my throat. Bring me my arm!" And we see that Thor is missing an arm, and he's wearing this kind of armor that covers his whole upper body, and I guess he has a screw-on arm or something.
I'm sorry, excuse me. That's a destroyer arm.
It sure looks like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what it is.
It sure does, yeah. That makes sense. Okay, so he's got the destroyer's arm, which is, that's pretty awesome, actually. That's pretty, that's, I mean, it makes sense in a way. So anyway, so he is calling for his arm, and the destroyer's arm shows up on, yeah, it's kind of spiky, just like the destroyer. He picks up his hammer, and he hurls it with a whack at this alien. It's just like the alien that we saw in the last scene. And says, "I vaguely remember how this started, so long ago, with a dead god floating in the sea, and later, a little girl's prayer on a world without gods." And he's now shouting at the aliens who are apparently surrounding him. Says, "Come, dogs, there is still one god left in Asgard, and he would have words with thee!" And he's got a sword in one hand, and Mjolnir in the other, and the perspective is way off in this picture. His hand looks like it's the size of a, I don't know, it's tiny. Especially if you think it's the destroyer's hand. That's, yeah. Perspective's a little bit off. Sorry, Mr. Rebic. your art is great, except for that. And getting ready to attack, and you see he's leaping into action with a sword up above his head, and Mjolnir is there. "The Odin sword is drawn. The end of all things is nigh. Death to the butcher of gods and his black berserkers. Death to the enemies of Asgard." You get a little bit of narration here. "Whatever happens now, whatever my fate, know that I face it like a god." And we see from behind how he's attacking them. And there's just thousands of these things. Just thousands of these alien watchdog things. And lightning is striking. And we have to be continued. So that is Thor, God of Thunder, number one. So what do you think about it?
I love this book.
I do too. I think this is a great story. This is a great start. And if anything could get me reading the Paper Thor comic again, I think it's going to be stuff like this. This is a great story. It has a lot of connectivity between the various ages, but at the same time, they don't overdo it. They make sure to keep it clear. You don't have any idea that Thor really knows what's going on before it happens.
Yeah.
Which is a mistake that a lot of comic writers make, is that, you know, they kind of get the sense that they kind of know what's going to happen before it does. Mm-hmm. And unless you're Dream Girl, that really doesn't work. Yeah. I really like the art in this. And I other than the occasional perspective issue, I really am enjoying this art by Esad Ribic. It's painted, and it reminds me a little bit, actually a lot, of the work of Simon Bisley.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
His painted work, his actual... When I first found out that he was going to be the regular artist on this book, I was actually scared, because I never knew him drawing like this. I knew him from his fine art paintings. And that really looks like Simon Bisley. So I was like, oh my God, a whole book like that? I don't know if I'm going to like that.
Right.
But this is different, and I it kind of has that feeling. But I love that artwork.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say I'm a big fan of Simon Bisley's work. I really like his stuff. I mean, I didn't like a lot of the stuff they had him drawing, like Lobo.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do like the fact, you know, you think about it, Bisley has been very influential on a lot of artists.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I don't think he's done that much comic work, he's done the covers.
Yeah, exactly.
But I can remember, you know, when painted comics started to really get to be more popular and more practical to produce, when you have people like Bill Sienkiewicz, who did all those painted covers for stuff like the New Mutants. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you were reading comics back then.
Yeah.
But that's during my prime comic collecting days. And it's great. I mean, he definitely has a way with facial expressions, and I'm looking at early in the issue where young Thor is he's all confident, and they killed Alice Cooper, but they're not going to kill me.
That's actually one of the things that I really like about the story, because in Marvel continuity, they always talk about how Thor used to be a jerk, but they never show it.
Right.
And I think in the movie, they kind of did a little bit, but not really. But in here, you actually see how cocky he really was. Mm-hmm. He was like, he just witnessed a god being butchered, basically torn apart into pieces. And he was like, yeah, whatever. They're not going to do that to me. Let's go drink.
Right. So but that makes sense. It's totally consistent, and that's what I like about it. And I wish Marvel all the best with this. I mean, with comics being in the state they are, where the lower selling comics are selling under 10,000 copies a month.
Mm-hmm.
Like the best selling comics aren't selling. They would have canceled them in 1975 if they were selling that badly.
Oh my God, the best selling. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
in that age, they were selling millions of copies actually.
Yeah, you get to you go back to the 1950s where you have books like Captain Marvel or whatever book he was in, where they were selling like a million copies a month.
Yeah.
And now they're lucky if they break 10,000. A lot of that has to do with the fact that there's so many other media outlets now. So many other ways to entertain yourself rather than comics. And that's a shame. But at the same time, I kind of get it.
Yeah, but another thing is back then, they were everywhere. Now, it's more of a select market. Back then, they were in supermarkets, magazine shops, yep, everywhere. If you don't know there's a comic book shop, you're not going to get them.
Right. And
so I think that hurts a little bit. I don't know.
It does. And the same way, the direct market has really helped the quality of comics. Because you think about it. I mean, I love to make fun of the Jack Kirby and Stan Lee stuff. I love that stuff. Yeah. Because that's the comics that I grew up on. But at the same time, a lot of that stuff is really bad.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you get a much higher standard of art. You get a much higher standard of writing, if you're not Bendis anyway. Even if they're writing for the trade, which this is obviously being written for the trade.
Yeah.
But that's okay. As long as you do it well, I don't care if you're writing it for the trade.
Sometimes what you say is spot on. Most of the comics nowadays, they write for the trade. And you end up, like with me, I get so disappointed. I most of the times I just drop them. But with this one, with this Thor book, I can't even wait to get the next one. Because they only tease you, but they tease you in a way which on each timeline they give you enough. It's not like you end up what just happened.
Right.
In this one, you end up, he fights, he has fun. It tells you basically a timeline of the story, and you feel like you got what you pay for.
Right, and it's basically a way to sum up what you're saying in one sentence is it's an extremely well-paced story.
Yes.
And it's the work of somebody who really knows what they're doing as a storyteller that he can actually sit here and do this. Now, I'll be the first to admit, I'm not that familiar with Jason Aaron's work. So this is the first thing by him that I'm really looking at, and I can already see this guy is a good writer.
Yeah, he's really talented. Mm-hmm. I don't buy that much Marvel because of I have kind of like my own personal boycott on Marvel.
Oh, dear.
Because of how they treated Kirby and a lot of people. But
right.
The one book that I do buy is Thor. I mean, mm-hmm. Thor, he's my guy. So I kind of bite my tongue and buy him. But yeah, the way Jason Aaron wrote his story, he earned his money.
Yeah, I hear you. And it's great stuff. All right. So with that, I think we're just about done.
All right.
So thanks very much, Manuel, for being on the show. And of course, if anybody out there wants to get in touch with the show, they can feel free to do so. We have an email address. That is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. Not that anybody actually uses it. But you can go on Facebook and talk to myself and Manuel and a bunch of other people at the Radio Free Asgard Facebook group and see pictures of Thordis.
Oh, my God, yes.
We all love Thordis here, even if she was Jane Foster.
bug that out.
So thanks very much, Manuel, for being on the show. And you're welcome back anytime, man.
Thank you, man.
So with that, we will see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard.